But it's so beautiful when God gives you that love as Christ Jesus loves us. And you begin to compliment your wife. And you begin to love her. Then God will honor your prayers. And then God can begin to build the marriage as husband and wife, and He can bring blessing upon your children and your grandchildren.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad to have you with us for our study of what it takes to cultivate a healthy, God-honoring marriage. Pointing to the widespread tragedy of divorce among Christians, Roel will challenge you to continually work on your marriage. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio to see that you and your spouse can strengthen your relationship simply by taking more time to talk with each other and pray together. Here's Roel Reese with our study, God's Institution of Marriage. Join us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4.
What does the Bible teach about marriage? It's not what we think marriage should be, but what does the Scripture teach concerning marriage between a male and a female? In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this. And remember, we were in the book of Genesis, and we saw the first marriage that God created, Adam and Eve, and how happy and joyous they were in the Garden of Eden, enjoying God's presence, enjoying the naming of the animals, as God gave the privilege to Adam to actually give names to all of the animals in paradise. And then at the same time, when Adam was with Eve and now joined together with her as his wife, experiencing the ultimate relationship in a marriage. And then as we get down from chapter 2 into chapter 3, as we dealt with it the last week, when the first sin came into the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came and tempted Eve, and Adam was not to be found in the Garden of Eden there. And the woman adding to the word of God and then partaking of the fruit and giving to her husband, and the both of their eyes being open, and the first thing recognizing their shame, the loss of the presence of God in their marriage and in their lives. And I think of how many people today, and we're talking to believers, not to non-believers, that it's really important that you understand that you reflect back in your own marriage when you first met that woman and first met that man, and how joyous it was to come together and then to build this relationship that actually got you into the altar and put you as husband and wife. But I think how wonderful it is that God has created the family, husband and wife, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so that we can keep it going from one generation to the other generation. And yet on the other side, we can see how Satan has come in and tried to destroy the family. I mean, we see it in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3 when Satan came and destroyed the first marriage. And how God had to stand up to Adam and say, Adam, what happened to you? He wanted him to confess. And Adam made excuses and Eve made excuses. And so God went ahead and went out and killed the first animal and dressed them, making the first atonement. And then protecting the actual tree of life. Because remember, he said if he hadn't put the cherubim around with a sword that actually did a circle around the tree of life, if Adam and Eve would have gone back and ate of that tree, they would have been doomed forever and we would have never had a chance ever again. But thank God that he protected the tree of life. And Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden in a fallen state. And we come to the New Testament and we see how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem the world. How God made it possible for Jesus to come and to redeem each one of us individually as male and female. But also, he was sent so that he gave the model as Paul the Apostle writes his epistles, 14 letters. And then John writes, and then Jude writes, and James. And we begin to read these epistles that are written concerning marriage as 1 Peter chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 5. And we see 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And when you think of the commandments that God has given for marriage, there are only two. Not 10, two. He sets them up in the book of Ephesians in such a way that he says, a woman is to be in submission to her husband, and a husband is to love his wife. That's it. Nothing else. Two little commandments given, and yet how hard they are to be kept by husband and wives. And so it's really important for us to understand that God has a plan for your life, and it's the best plan that you will ever have in your life. But you have to align yourself with his plan. He will never force you to do that. You have to align yourself with him. And it's really important that you understand that the only one that can unite that bond in marriage is the Holy Spirit. God himself. As two people come together and are broken people and submissive people to the work of the Holy Spirit in God repairing and healing your marriage. Because I don't think that any one of us here has a perfect marriage. We all have disagreements. We all get angry. We all get mad. We do things we shouldn't do. But yet Paul, on the other side, understood the mind of God. Here in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the context of the chapter is he's speaking about purity, how we can stay pure to God. In verse 4, he says, marriage is honorable among all. Notice that. Marriage is honorable among all. And then Paul in Corinthians says that there are people that are single people, that they will be single the rest of their lives, but that's the gift of God. They'll never ever have to have a husband or a wife. God can bless people being single all of their lives. I had aunts like that. I've known people like that. But I think it's really important that we understand what Paul is saying. He says marriage is honorable, which means marriage has to be kept pure. There has to be integrity in the marriage. And the reason I say this is because what he says next. But fornicators, he says, the bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That a lot of times we forget that when a husband is not being the head of his home and he's not being paying attention to his wife and caring for her as Christ cared for the church, and she's being neglected, that the wife kind of becomes not only unsure about him, so when he tries to make decisions, she is always questioning the decisions because she doesn't really trust him. And the reason is because she's not sure if she's going to leave him. That happens in all kinds of marriages. And yet we know that we are living in the last days before Christ comes again to the earth. And yet things are getting worse and crazy by the minute. There are so many people today that are separating, that are divorcing and remarrying, thinking that, hey, you know, if I just get rid of this one, then I can get a better one. But what they don't realize is that if you don't do it the way God says, that you're taking all of your problems and situations into the next marriage. You don't get rid of it. It builds up. And it will become a problem in the second or the third marriage. But I think it's really important that we know that God is the one that actually rules over this marriage. And yet at the same time, when you look at statistics, you can see that in the church today, almost 65% of the church divorced. 65%, just as many as the world today. We're catching up with the world. And husbands and wives not only separate, divorce, they commit adultery. and then they try to enter a remarriage and not repenting, not really waiting upon God and trying to restore that marriage. And if you're here this morning and you divorced before you came to Christ, but now you're in Christ Jesus, the Bible says all things have become brand new. All things are passed away. Make sure you don't make another mistake. Make sure you listen to the word of God. That you stay firm upon that foundation, the rock which is Jesus Christ. Because he wants to bless you and he wants to use your life. I would say to you, there are people that don't fear the Lord today. They don't. By their actions, they prove it. Yet Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, gives us great insight. He says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." When you're not willing to listen to the word of God, and you're not willing to live by the word of God, you become a fool. You become a fool. In the eyes of men and in the eyes of God. Another problem that we have today is the internet. The internet has introduced to us pornography, which is destroying pastors, church leaders. It's destroying our young adults and even children. And it's an evil that Satan has brought into the home. You don't have to go outside of the home. It's in the home. And then on the other side, violence is great too. 1 of 6 youths between the ages of 10 and 17 years of age have known someone who has been shot or killed. So we see that our world is changing. Our country is changing. And yet these statistics not only give me a greater challenge in my own life to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to put an alert in people's minds and hearts that we need to wake up and we need to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. So when it comes to marriage, it is very personal that God wants to speak to us.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. It's our privilege to equip you and your spouse with truth from God's Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources. You'll also find live-streamed biblical teaching on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Now back to more of our study, God's Institution of Marriage.
What does the Bible say about marriage this morning? Well, number one, it says that the Bible says that marriage was instituted by God, not by men. Way before, 1,000 years before, Moses was given the law or the Ten Commandments. That's where God set it up, in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, 18 and 19, he said, "The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. And so Adam gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, to the every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found, notice, a helper comparable to him." God saw the difference between animal and human beings. But God created man in the image of God, totally different than the animal kingdom, totally different than anything else he had ever created. And when God saw the emptiness, the loneliness of men, what did God do? He brought the woman to him. That's why we said to singles last week, don't be looking for a wife or a husband. Allow God to bring you the one he's planned to give to you. Very important. That you do that. That you wait upon the Lord. Adam never sought for a wife. God saw his heart. God saw his need. And then God fulfilled that need by bringing and making a woman by the name of Eve and gave him to Adam. Secondly, we recognize that marriage is honorable. Honorable. It has to be respected. It's one of the high things that God created upon planet Earth. Here we saw it in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all. the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge, giving us responsibility that there is a day of judgment coming. Nobody gets away with sin, especially if you're an adulterer, especially if you're committing adultery on your partner and there's no repentance. You need to be aware that God will judge you. It's really important that you come to repentance and restore your marriage. God will receive you. He's there for you if you're wanting to come to Him. Then we know again in Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6, that marriage is permanent. It's a permanent bond, and it's actually an initiative bond that God gives to us. He says in verse 5 of chapter 19 of Matthew, listen carefully. He said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be glued unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And then he said, "So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined or glued together, let no man divorce or separate." God hates divorce. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14. God hates divorce. And yet we know that there are people in the body of Christ that have divorced. That's not the unpardonable sin. If you already have divorced, then make sure that this marriage will work as you repent before God and you obey the rules that God has given to us biblically so that your marriage can be in the spirit and not in the flesh, so that God can bless you. God does want to bless your marriage. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 1, 27, 28, he says, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So God did bless Adam and Eve, and God has blessed us. As not only He has redeemed us, but look how blessed we are today just to be here this morning. And then God says in His word that marriage, it is not to be dissolved, only it can be dissolved by death. Then if you're a Christian and you want to get remarried, then you can do that legally before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about that. But here in Romans chapter 7 verse 2 and 3 says, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives." Long as he lives. "But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, then she is free from that law so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." Along with Romans chapter 7, read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 so you can see what God says. Real important to know that. Then another thing that the Bible teaches is that marriage is consummated in a relationship between husband and wife. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. The whole chapter 5, 6, and 7, and 8 talk about immorality. It talks about the loose woman, the whorish woman, and the young man that is really has a lack of wisdom. But here in chapter 5, 15, he's talking to married people. Listen what he says. "Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well." A cistern was one that held water when the rains came. Literally, in translating this, he's saying, husbands, make sure that you are totally with your wife and she is your full lover and your companion in marriage. He goes on to say, "Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, when you go out and you commit adultery, if that should happen. Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you." Notice that. "Let your fountain be blessed, having children, and rejoice with the wife of your youth." Notice that. The wife of your youth. your first wife, as a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be in rapture with her love. What happens? We fall out of love with our wives and our husbands. So what happens? Satan comes along with somebody else. We need to rekindle the flame. We need to work on our marriages. They're not going to work by themselves. We have to make the initiative, take the initiative. That a husband really talks to his wife, communicates with her, tells her how beautiful she is, and they have times of conversation with each other. Because if you're not conversing and you're not talking to one another and at the same time sharing with one another your needs, then Satan will come in like a flood and will begin to destroy your marriage once again. Very important. Then, marriage is centered by love and obedience. By love and obedience. You have to obey God's word. When Paul the Apostle is writing Ephesians chapter 5, he talks how we need to be imitators of Christ as God's dear children. Then he comes along and he says in verse 28 of chapter 5, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Why? Because God knows that men have a real problem with ego, right? But I think it's really cool how he says it here, the husbands are to love their own wives as their own bodies. If you love your body, how much more will you love your wife and help her in whatever needs to be done as a husband? And then he says this in verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of, in particular, so love his own wife as himself again, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Listen, man, your wife will never respect you until you start loving her and she feels assured. Otherwise, she's going to question you every time. She'll be unsure of herself and the marriage.
We hope today's message has re-energized your commitment to investing in your marriage and obeying the Bible's instructions for a Christ-centered family. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's message, God's Institution of Marriage, can be yours in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. Now, as you think about what you can do to strengthen your relationship with your spouse, we'd like to tell you about Raul's 30-part marriage series. It's available on either CD or USB. This comprehensive study provides insights into the God-given roles of husbands and wives while illuminating what it takes to honor the Lord with respect, patience, and humility in your home. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165 to order Rolls' marriage study. We'll send you this 30-lesson CD collection for $45 or the flash drive for $30. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Check out iTunes and Spotify for podcasts of all of these programs. And download our app for live-streamed Bible teaching and digital Bible studies. You can also join Raul for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. We're a listener-supported ministry, and we're so blessed by your partnership as we share the life-giving truth of the Word of God. Thank you for your tax-deductible gifts. And be sure and join us next time as we continue this series, Exploring the Elements of a Strong Marital Relationship. Focusing on the give and take that God has designed between husbands and wives, you'll get a challenge to live out your divinely appointed role in maintaining the health of your home. Now, here's Raul with the closing comment.
But it's so beautiful when God gives you that love as Christ Jesus loves us, and you begin to compliment your wife, and you begin to love her, then God will honor your prayers. And God will honor your life. And then God can begin to build the marriage as husband and wife. And he can bring blessing upon your children and your grandchildren. But it takes not just one, it takes two people to be committed to the cross of Jesus Christ, and not to point fingers and not to accuse each other and to judge each other, but who's the one that will break and humble themselves before God and say, Lord, I'll take the blame. And I want to start building on my marriage. God desires that from each one of us individually, as we reckon the old man to be dead, as we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and we humble ourselves before Him, that He can take us and mold us and shape us into His image, and He can give us victory over our marriage.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.